Joshua chapter 24. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders. And he said to all the people, "Thus says Yahweh God of Israel, your fathers lived of old time beyond the river," that's the river Euphrates, "even Terah, father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. I took your father Abraham from beyond the river Euphrates and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac." Well, actually, God told Abraham, as he was then called, to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to separate from his father and all his family. But he didn't actually do that. And it seems that his father took him and decided they'd emigrate. So they moved from Ur to Haran, and then his father dies, and then he goes on from there towards Canaan with Lot, his relative, who he was supposed to have separated from, because he was told to separate himself from all his family and God would give him a bigger family, a huge seed, and to leave his homeland and God would give him eternal inheritance of another land. Well, he didn't quite do that, but it says that God took him. And he once says, Abraham once said, "God caused me to wander from my father's house." So although he was weak, yet God encouraged his obedience. And that's how it will be with us. We've been called to leave this world and go on a journey to God's kingdom. And God will encourage us and God will take us and lead us there. When it says, "I led him all over the land of Canaan," well, actually, he went all over the land of Canaan because of this problem and that problem and needing to find pasture for his flocks. But he could look back and see that actually God led me. "I gave to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. I gave to Esau Mount Seir to possess it. Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, the Red Sea. The Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and with horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to Yahweh, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea on them and covered them. Your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness many days." So going through the Red Sea, Paul says, is like us going through the water of baptism. So you come out of Egypt, the world, and then you've got to go through the desert of this life, and then you will come into the promised land, the kingdom of God. "I brought you into the land of the Amorites that lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. You possessed their land, and I destroyed them from before you." So they were given a few victories on the wilderness journey to just encourage them. That victory, in the bigger sense, to get into the kingdom of God was possible. It's the same with us. Then Balak, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. He sent and called Balaam to curse you, but I wouldn't listen to Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. You went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorite, Perizzite, Canaanite, Hittite, Girgashite, Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, not with your sword, nor with your bow." Well, the hornet could have literally been the hornet. Maybe God literally sent hornets in front of them to make the tribes of Canaan weak. Or it could be the hornet could describe some other tribe that God raised up to attack them and fight them and make them all weak, so that when Israel came to the land, they were very weak and easy to overcome. "I gave you a land whereon you had not worked, and cities which you didn't build, and you lived in them. You eat of vineyards, olive groves, which you didn't plant." So then God really did bless them, even though Ezekiel says that they took the idols of Egypt with them on the wilderness journey, and Amos and Stephen say that they carried the tabernacle of Moloch through the wilderness as well as that of God, and they carried the star of their god Remphan with them as well as the standards of the tribes that God had given them. So they were very weak, but God still blessed them. "Now therefore," Joshua says, "fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. So all through this, they had still got with them the gods they brought out of Egypt, even right up to the end of Joshua's life. And yet God still gave them victory. It shows how God really wanted to make things work. He really wanted to save them. And that's what Joshua means. Jesus, Yah saves. Well, Joshua wasn't Jesus. His name means the same as Jesus. If it seems bad to you to serve Yahweh, then choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were beyond the river Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. As for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And so Joshua was giving them the choice, serve God or the idols. And as Moses says, I set before you this day life and death, therefore choose life that you may live. So I think the fact that there's no third option, it's either to the right or to the left at the day of judgment, to eternal life or eternal death, and so it is now. There's only really two choices. In all the things we might worry about, there's only really two choices, for God or for the flesh, for life or for death, and therefore choose life. Go God's way with all your heart and soul and mind. And the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other gods, for it is Yahweh our God who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through the midst of whom we passed. Yahweh drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve Yahweh, for he is our God. Well, they said this while they still had the idols of Egypt with them. So they'd have sort of been expected, I think, to say, oh yeah, you're right, we're now going to throw the idols away and we shall burn them to pieces or something like that. But they don't. They don't get rid of their idols. They just say, oh yeah, yeah, you're right, Joshua. Yep, we'll serve Yahweh. How dare you think that we might not? And so Joshua says to them, knowing this, you can't serve Yahweh, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your sins. If you forsake Yahweh and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you evil and consume you after he has done you good. The people said, no, but we will serve Yahweh. Well, they needed to get rid of their gods, and that's why Joshua says, look, I don't really think you are serious about this serving Yahweh. How can you? He knew full well they still had the idols and hadn't destroyed them. Joshua said to the people, your witness is against yourselves that you yourselves have chosen Yahweh to serve him. They said, we are witnesses. And so he says to them, now therefore put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to Yahweh, God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve Yahweh our God and we will listen to his voice. Well, again, they don't do it, do they? He says, get rid of your gods, burn them, throw them away. And it doesn't say they did that. They just said, oh, no, no, we will serve Yahweh. Now, that's a little bit like us. We can go to church or have times in our lives where we say, oh, yeah, God, I love you with all my heart and soul. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no way anywhere else. No, I love you alone. But unless we're going to make really concrete and actual decisions in our lives to get rid of our idols, that's all words. That's all language. And you get this particularly, I think, in hymns and prayers that we can sing and say amen to. But actually, what does it mean? It means that we're just using words, and God doesn't want words. He wants action. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a great stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of Yahweh. Joshua said to the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of Yahweh which he spoke to us. It shall be a witness against you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. So all the Israelites had a specific part of the land God wanted them to inherit. It's the same with us. We have been given a specific job to do in the kingdom. It could be that we are a king or a ruler over a little island or a little village somewhere. You remember the Lord's parable, some person's given five cities or two cities or whatever to rule over. Whatever, we will have our own specific job and service to God. So it won't just be sitting around in the kingdom. watching the sunset and having a nice time in a perfect climate and playing with cute animals. That would actually get boring if you did it forever and ever. We're going to be given work to do for him, and in this life we should want to do that work. And then, although we're frustrated in this life by lack of resources, by our own weakness and all that, well, the main thing is that you want to do it. And then in the kingdom, you will do it. After this, Joshua, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, on the north of the mountain of Gaash. I think they buried him in the border so that when he resurrects, when Jesus finally comes, he'll be right there, ready to walk into his inheritance. Israel served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, and had known all the work of Yahweh that he had worked for Israel. They buried the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, in Shechem. So you remember how Joseph had said, "I don't want to be buried here in Egypt. My heart is in the promised land." Even though Joseph lived most of his life in Egypt, just like we live in the world, but our heart is not here. This is not our resting place. So they buried the bones of Joseph as he had asked in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. They became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Eleazar, son of Aaron, died. They buried him in the hill of Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim.